Chapter 13. Good, ugly Mlee. Durand, the governess, with her black eyebrows meeting over a short thick nose, and a complexion like pale brown paper. Of all the eyes turned towards the carriage, her good-natured eyes only were dropping tears, and it was her sobbing voice alone that broke the silence with an appeal to me. Nobly paused on Francais, mon cheery. In 3 months, simply by playing with us, as he had taught me, not only to speak French, but to read it as well. She was indeed an excellent playmate. In the distance, halfway down to the great gates, a light, open trap, harnessed with three horses in Russian fashion, stood drawn up on one side with the police captain of the district sitting in it, the visor of his flat cap with a red band pulled down over his eyes. It seems strange that he should have been there to watch our going so carefully. Without wishing to treat with levity the just timidities of imperialists all the world over, I may allow myself the reflection that a woman, practically condemned by the doctors, and a small boy not quite 6 years old could not be regarded as seriously dangerous even for the largest of conceivable empires saddled with the most sacred of responsibilities. And this good man, I believe, did not think so either. I learned afterwards why he was present on that day. I don't remember any outward signs, but it seems that, about a month before, my mother became so unwell that there was a doubt whether she could be made fit to travel in the time. In this uncertainty, the Governor General in Kiev was petitioned to grant her a fortnight's extension of stay in her brother's house. No answer whatever was returned to this prayer, but one day at dusk the police captain of the district drove up to the house and told my uncle's valet, who ran out to meet him, that he wanted to speak with the master in private at once. Very much impressed, he thought it was going to be an arrest. The servant, more dead than alive with fright, as he related afterwards, smuggled him through the big drawing room, which was dark. That room was not lighted every evening, on tiptoe, so as not to attract the attention of the ladies in the house, and led him by way of the orangery to my uncle's private apartments. The policeman, without any preliminaries, thrust a paper into my uncle's hands. There, pray read this. I have no business to show this paper to you. It is wrong of me. But I can't either eat or sleep with such a job hanging over me. That police captain, a native of Great Russia, had been for many years serving in the district. My uncle unfolded and read the document. It was a service order issued from the Governor General's Secretariat, dealing with the matter of the petition, and directing the police captain to disregard all remonstrances and explanations in regard to that illness either from medical men or others, and if as he has not left her brother's house it went on to say, and the morning of the day specified on her permit, you are to dispatch her at once under escort, direct, underlined, oh the prison hospital in Kiev, where she will be treated as her case demands. For God's sake, Mr. B, see that your sister goes away punctually on that day. Don't give me this work to do with a woman, and with one of your family too. I simply cannot bear to think of it. He was absolutely wringing his hands. My uncle looked at him in silence. Thank you for this warning. I assure you that even if she were dying she would be carried out to the carriage. Yes indeed, and what difference would it make travel to Kiev or back to her husband? For she would have to go death or no death. And mind, Mr. B, I will be here on the day, not that I doubt your promise, but because I must. I have got to. Duty. All the same, my trade is not fit for a dog, since some of you Poles will persist in rebelling, and all of you have got to suffer for it. This is the reason why he was there in an open three-horse trap pulled up between the house and the great gates. I regret not being able to give up his name to the scorn of all believers in the rights of conquest as a reprehensibly sensitive guardian of imperial greatness. On the other hand, I am in a position to state the name of the Governor General who signed the order with the marginal note O be carried out to the letter in his own handwriting. The gentleman's name was Bezak. a high dignitary, an energetic official, the idol for a time of the Russian patriotic press. Each generation has its memories. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.